Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidin Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please recite after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله Dear viewers, before we start to listen, we should always make good intentions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, "Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi." The intention of a believer is better than his action. So inshallah azawajal, before we listen to the bayan, inshallah, we make some good intentions. Remember, we're making the intention that we listen to the bayan attentively for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Whenever we hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we recite Durood-e Pak. Wherever we listen to, we try to remember it, act upon it, and teach it to others. And many more intentions we can make. The more intentions we make, the greater the reward. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear viewers, we'll begin the bayan with the listening to the benefits of Durood-e Pak. Allah Almighty created a tree in paradise. The fruit of this tree, which is bigger than an apple, smaller than a pomegranate, softer than butter, sweeter than honey, and more fragrant than musk. The branches of that tree are of pearls, the trunk of gold, and the leaves of emeralds. Only the one who recited salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance will be able to eat from this tree. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, today's topic is a very important topic, a topic on how we should be able to support and spend on the students of knowledge. Those students that take their time out to learn the deen, that travel, maybe they're reading in jamiats or other places. So our topic, our focus, our motivation today is, can we be motivated to spend on such individuals, inshallah azawajal. Let's start off with the waqiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the house of his beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha after returning from the journey. When he sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the cover of the door and the bangles in the hand of his beloved daughter, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned. When Sayyidina Abu Rafi radiallahu ta'ala anha came to the court of Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, he saw that she was crying. When inquired, "What's the reason for you crying?" she said, "My father, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came here and then returned. Can you go find out what's the reason for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returning?" When he radiallahu ta'ala an went into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I returned due to the cover on the door and the silver bracelets." After returning and informing my Fatima radiallahu ta'ala an of this, she said that if this is the reason, she took down the cover and she gave the bracelets Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an and said, "I give these in the way of sadaqah." When these reached the blessed court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, "Sell them and spend the money on Ashabu Sufa." He radiallahu ta'ala and done so, and both those bracelets were sold for 2.5 dirhams, and the money, the sadqa, was given on Ashabi Sufa. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his beloved daughter, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in these beautiful words, said, "May my parents be sacrificed upon you." The meaning of this is that to display immense love and honor, and said to his beloved daughter that you did well. You did very well that you gave these in the way of Allah Almighty. Dear viewers on Madani Channel, we see from this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged his blessed daughter to give in the way of Allah Almighty. And he stated that Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan alayhi rahma states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want his beloved daughter Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha to wear those bracelets either, even though they were permissible, it was allowed. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to see his daughter in such a way that she is wearing these bangles, but instead the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to increase the rank of his beloved daughter in the hereafter. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we also learn, and parents should also learn, that giving the tarbiyat for our daughters, teaching our daughters to give in the way of Allah before their marriage, after their marriage, this tarbiyat, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who taught his beloved daughter in this beautiful manner. And then on another account, it is mentioned that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said that some captives were brought into the service of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an encouraged Hazrat my Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha that why don't you also go? And request from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get a maid to help you with your housework, to help you to lighten your burden in the house. So she radiallahu ta'ala an went into the court of her father, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when she reached there, she was unable to ask for her need due to modesty, and she returned back. When she returned back, her husband Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an inquired that, did you ask for the maid, for someone to come and help you? She said, I was able to do so due to modesty. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an sent her again. Again, when she went into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she again was very shy and her modesty didn't allow her to ask. Then she returned back for the second time. Now the third time, she went with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them for the reason for their coming, it was informed by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an that we find it difficult in our work and we wanted to ask for a servant. And listen to the reply of our aqa, of our master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, should I tell you of such an act which is better for you than red camels? It's better for you than the worth of red camels. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, yes, Messenger of Allah, please inform us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that recite Subhanallah 33 times, recite Alhamdulillah 33 times, and recite Allahu Akbar 34 times, morning and evening. You will attain 1,000 good deeds in the morning and evening, and this also will get rid of your tiredness. And he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, encouraged him to do so. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an went on to say that after receiving this gift, I used to recite on a regular basis. It was my routine to recite all the time. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we also may be thinking we get tired. We are in the house and at times it's exhausting. But before going to sleep, remember, make it a habit of reciting Tasbih Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, inshaAllah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that the blessed action that we should spend the wealth on Islamic students of knowledge. The Ashabi Sufa were those individuals that used to spend their time learning the deen. Those poor individuals that used to spend their days and their nights in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inquiring, learning the religion. And inshallah azza wa jal, from this giving to them, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that we should also spend on students of knowledge. The sacrifice of the Sahaba, we see that during times of difficulty, the fact is that the beginning era of Islam, how difficult it was to learn the deen, to stay on the deen, and the Sahaba, they used to learn their religion. And we, when we read about them, we hear about them, then definitely what happens is that it makes us realize that how easy we have it. They used to go through hunger, they used to go through thirst, they used to go through dejection, traveling, they used to go through internal disloyalties, external enemies used to be out there to attack them. But yet they didn't distance themselves from learning. They had that jazba to want to learn. They did not want to leave the servitude of the King of Medina sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not want to leave seeking Islamic knowledge. They wanted to spread the religion of Islam. The jazba was to spread the religion of Islam. And we find the mazarat of the Sahaba around the world. around in different places, different countries. And who were the Ashab-e-Sufa? The Ashab-e-Sufa were those individuals that used to spend their time in outside, just outside Masjid Nabawi Sharif. The number stated is between 400 and 500. They used to sit there. They used to be those poor individuals that even certain number of them didn't have clothes to cover their sitr in certain cases. So it was the case that they used to wait for food to be given to them. They used to wait in the blessed court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is stated that on one occasion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reading salah, and there were certain sahaba that were so weak due to hunger and thirst that even in salah they were falling over. And these individuals were those individuals from the Ashab-e-Sufa. They were those individuals that didn't have food or drink to eat. And it's sad to say that it's stated that people used to think that these people are mad, the way that they used to fall over. And it's even stated that to such an extent they used to be lying on the floor and people used to walk over them, walk over their head and walk over their bodies, thinking that these people are mad. And one of those famous people from Ashab-e-Sufa is none other than Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. His name we hear again and again. Many narrations of ahadith are narrated from him. He stated, "A time came upon me when I would fall unconscious between the pulpit." So the beautiful pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the house of Aisha, Hazrat my Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. He said, "I used to fall over between these two places." Why? Because I was so hungry, I was so thirsty. And he said, people used to step on my head and walk over me. They used to step on my neck and walk over me. And they used to say that he is a mad person. But he said, I was not mad. I suffered nothing but hunger. And another occasion that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he narrates, "I was from amongst those people that were fasting. In the evening I had a stomach pain. So during the iftar time, when he's about to open the fast, he said, I went to relieve myself, and when I returned, all the food had gone. Everybody had eaten. Now he said, I was starving, I was very hungry. So I thought to myself, I asked the people, where did this food come from? And they said, it's come from the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an went to the house of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, but he didn't want to ask. Look at the way of the Sahaba. They didn't want to ask. He said that he thought that if I was to read something or say something, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an would be able to judge from my weakness and then ask me, do you need food? Are you hungry? Then I'll say, yes, I need food. When he went to the house of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar was reciting tasbihat. After the prayer, he said, I waited for a while, and then I requested that, can we recite something? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala started to recite Surah Ali Imran to me. When we got home, he left me at the door and I waited outside. He said, I thought Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is going to go inside and then come back. He said, a long time passed and I was standing there until darkness fell. Eventually, I was starting to make my way back, feeling very hungry. Now it's been a long day. Imagine keeping a fast for so long and then you miss the iftari, and then it's gone even darker and late, and now you have got that hunger. But he meets our Aqa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He meets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks past and sees Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an standing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Oh Abu Huraira, the smell from your mouth is very strong today." Meaning that without even speaking, our Aqa sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an was fasting. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an said, "Yes, today I have not broken my fast yet." The merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him to his house and asked for a bowl, and some food was given out. It was leftover food. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that somebody had eaten barley from it and it was on the sides of the bowl. He said, "I gathered that food that was left. I recited Bismillah. I collected it and I began to eat even though the food was very less. I ate and I ate until my stomach was full." Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, on Madani channel, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the people, the Ashab-e-Sufa, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed this through giving gifts for them, giving food for them, encouraged the Sahaba, for the Ashab-e-Sufa to give food towards them, to feed them. And it is stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had great closeness to these individuals. And it is the noble Sahaba would also take special care of the Ashabu Sufa and fulfill their needs. Let us also have a glimpse of this. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Ashabu Sufa would seek knowledge, and for that reason the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would himself spend on them, and he used to encourage others to do the same. Is it not the case? It's not the case only that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent on just them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent on other needs for Islam and for deen. It is stated that Sayyidina Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala an says, once while I was walking in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw the Mount of Uhud and said, if this mount turned into gold for me, if this whole mountain turned into gold for me, I would not like for even a single dinar of it to remain with me for more than 3 days, except that dinar which I keep for repaying debts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is again encouraging us to spend in the way of deen, to spend on those people that need the money, spend on those people that are acquiring the knowledge. Dear viewers, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the leader of all the prophets and the cause of creation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow the wealth of the world to remain with him, feeding others and remaining hungry himself. This was the way of our master, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear viewers, if we further listen, O devotees of the Prophet, you have heard that the wealth of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passed on for the religion, and especially spending on Islamic students, the students of knowledge, and the noble practice of he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted the same for his family. He wanted the same for his blessed family. He wanted the same that his blessed daughter also spent. And this is the blessed household. Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, 1,000,000,000 salams upon them. And today we see in front of us that we have students of knowledge. And today we have those individuals that are studying. And how do we encourage them? Even words of encouragement don't come out of our mouth sometimes. Even to say to them that, wow, then you're on the right path. You are doing something good. You are doing that thing which I couldn't achieve. You are on that path that I didn't have a chance. Instead, it's the case that, let alone helping them financially, we are normally there and we say to them that, why don't you study something better? Why don't you go to university? Why don't you do something else? It should be the case that if these individuals who will be our leaders, who will be guiding the youngsters, who will be our ambassadors of the future, these people, we should be encouraging them, motivating them, supporting them, and giving, and through infradi koshish, we should be encouraging them to come towards the deen. Imagine if one of them that we support today, that we encourage, and through our effort, he becomes a scholar of the deen. Alhamdulillah, he becomes a mufti of Islam. Okay, we couldn't become scholars. We couldn't become hafiz of the Quran. But our supporting an individual that becomes an alim of the deen, is stated that if we help those students of knowledge, those students that are seeking knowledge, then inshallah, in our coming generations, scholars will also be produced. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's listen to another beautiful waqi'ah. It stated that Imam Abu Yusuf alayhi rahma himself, he mentions his waqi'ah. He spent time in Kufa as a student of hadith and fiqh. Initially he said, I belong to a very poor family. My family was very poor. One day my father took me into the service of none other than Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahma. I began to study there. But when I came home, my father said to me, son, sit down. First of all, never ever spread your feet towards Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahma. The father is teaching the son adab. The father is telling his son, never spread your feet towards your teacher. Never ever have your feet in that direction. Today, do we teach our children how to respect their teachers? Do we teach our children not to talk back to their teachers? Here, the feet, the direction of the feet, we are told not to have them in towards our teachers, our Islamic teachers. And yet we are talking back to our teachers. Our children are talking back to the adults. This should not be the case. It's further stated that he said, when I came home, my father said, we are very poor. We don't have much food in the house. So I started to miss the lessons. I started to miss the study circles of Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahma. And it became to the extent that he, Imam Azam alayhi rahma, started to inquire, where is this young man? Where is this individual? He said, has such love for wanting to sit in the study circles that I miss them. I used to miss it. Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahmah sent out a message that where is this individual? Eventually, he said, I had a chance to go sit back in the study circle after everybody left. Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahmah said to me, what is the issue? He said, financially I'm struggling. Imam Abu Hanifa said, just wait here. He gave him a bag. Now when he opened that bag, he said, in that bag there was 100 dirhams. Imam Abu Hanifa said, don't worry about your financial situation. You come and study, I'll keep supporting you. This is a teacher sponsoring his student, saying, don't worry about your finance, I will help you, I will support you. He said, every time my money was about to run out, I would not even say to Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmah that my money is about to run out. He'll give me another bag. In that bag, I'll find another 100 dirhams. Again, when my money is about to run out, again, he'll give me another bag. I'll continue to attend his classes. I'll continue to sit in the study circles. I'll continue to receive the money. It is stated that Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahmah kept giving to him, eventually till he was stable and he was financially strong. Then it's further stated that he was such an individual that he became a great scholar. He became a mujtahid, he became a mufti, he became a qazi of Islam, a judge of Islam. And it's not 1 or 2 days that Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahmah, or 1 year, 2 year, is stated for 10 years. 10 years Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahmah supported Imam Abu Yusuf for 10 years, making sure that this bright, talented individual was sitting in his classes, and so later he could spread the deen. This is the sponsor, the dedication, the love for deen of Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahmah, that such a student he didn't want to lose. Such an individual he didn't want to lose. We have many talented students that are in universities that due to financial reasons they end up dropping out. Imagine they had support. Imagine they had encouragement. These same individuals, instead of leaving, they will continue. Let's listen further. It stated that Imam Abu Yusuf alayhi rahmah, who did he go on to teach? He went on to teach Imam Muhammad alayhi rahmah. Imam Muhammad alayhi rahmah went on to teach Imam Shafi'i alayhi rahmah. Imam Shafi'i alayhi rahmah went on to teach Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmah went on to teach Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmah. Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmah. Imam Bukhari rahmah, we know the Bukhari Sharif, we know the disciples and his teaching and how it spread, and this system will continue all the way to the Day of Judgment. One sponsor of Imam Abu Hanifa alayhi rahmah, it's changed everything. Somebody that we sponsor, somebody that we help, and Ala Hazrat alayhi rahmah has also, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, he used to have so much love for students of knowledge, that his students that used to come from far and wide, it is stated that he used to bring clothes for them on Eid. He'll give money to them. It was such that he'll get new clothes, money for them, feed them. If his students were from Arab Sharif, he'll make sure that they get Arabic food. If his students were from Russia, he'll make sure they'll get Russian food. If his students were from Bangladesh, he'll make sure they get Bengali food. It is stated that he was so happy for them when gifts were given to them. That pleased him. And today also, we have our students in the Jamia. We have those students that are studying in the Jamiats of Dawat Islami. Approximately over 740 Jamiat around the world. You can imagine the expenditure. The children are studying, the students are studying for free. The teachers are teaching. Then you have the food that's given to them. It's all free. The cost of Jamia, just one department of Dawat Islami, the cost is in billions. Billions and billions of rupees, yet Dawat Islam is opening even more. Why shouldn't we have a share in this? Why shouldn't we want to sponsor the students of knowledge and gain this blessing? These students are becoming scholars. Remember, they will be standing, leading prayer. There will be those individuals that will be delivering speech and delivering bayan. There will be those individuals that will be traveling a Madani Kafila. There will be those individuals that will be giving dars. There will be those individuals that will be inviting towards good. There will be reward for their parents. There will be reward for their teachers. They will be teaching our children how to respect the parents. They'll be teaching the future generations what is the true religion, what is the deen. All these things the student of knowledge were doing. And it's stated that wherever they go, there's blessings. If this is the rank and the status and the maqam of a student, imagine his teacher. Imagine the status of his teacher. That teacher that's teaching many students and teaching them the deen and bringing them closer to the religion and making sure they can pass on and teach the religion correctly, all these individuals, inshallah azza wa jal, will be then filling our masajid, will be leaders in the masjid, will be delivering speeches in the language of that country, will be encouraging people. And today we find it difficult to learn the religion. Even though we have chances online, courses online, we are still finding it difficult. There are jamiat for Islamic brothers, there are jamiat for Islamic sisters, a chance for them to learn. Dawat Islami is producing many scholars every single year around the world. Just recently, last year, roughly on Madani Channel, you probably saw a huge gathering of all those individuals that graduated in 1 year. And here in the UK, we have students that have graduated from our jamiat here in the UK, and they are English speaking scholars. They are benefiting. Some are writing, some are teaching, some are traveling among the kafila, some are involved in various duties. And we are happy and proud to see that Dawat Islam is producing scholars, not just in Pakistan, but here in this country and many other countries of the world, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sallu ala al Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in today's bayan, we have realized and understood the importance, and we have heard the waqiyat regarding how we should support the students of knowledge, inshallah azza wa jal. Also, it's a great way of sadaqah jariyah. It's a great way to give reward to those people that have passed away from our families. Only recently there was an individual in Pakistan that built a whole jamia. A whole jamia he built for Islamic brothers, Islamic sisters. Why? For Isale Sawab, for his parents. Now imagine all the people that are going to be reading Quran, reading Ahadith, teaching the Quran, learning the Quran. All this reward is automatically going to his parents. If you can sponsor a jamia, if you can, inshallah azza wa jal, give towards a jamia. It could be something that you want to give. If people are store owners, they can give in the form of food, you can give in the form of wheat, you can give in many different ways. You can support the jamiat of Dawat Islami and help spread the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam around the world. May Allah Almighty give us the ability to act upon the bayan. May Allah Almighty give us such a heart that spends in the way of deen and strengthens the deen. This is our way to strengthen the religion by producing scholars who strengthen the religion, inshallah azza wa jal, and will also get rid of all those bad things in our society, in our communities that are wrong. When a scholar comes, when the individual comes, will help people teach and learn and correct us and rectify us as well. May Allah Almighty give us the ability to act upon this bayan. Any mistakes, may Allah Almighty forgive me for any mistakes in the bayan. May Allah Almighty give us the ability to, inshallah azza wa jal, ourselves acquire sacred knowledge, inshallah azza wa jal, act upon it and teach it to others. Ameen bi jahi nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.